Amen. Amen. Love you, preacher. Preach. Thank God for this church, and boy, thank God. Look out over the crowd and see a lot of my friends and some folks I don't know. And so if you become my enemies, you'll have to take it up with God. I can't do nothing about it. But hey, man, it's good to be saved. Everybody glad you're in church on Monday. I mean, y'all crazy. You went to church all day yesterday and back today. I love the preacher that's coming up behind me. He's my dear friend. I love the pastor of this church. And the burden of this church to have this meeting on. Just want to take a minute and say thank you for all the work and the labor that goes on. And love you preachers out there. If you will stand, take your Bible, turn to the book of 2 Kings in chapter number 4. I'm going to read a lengthy portion of scripture tonight. I feel like it's necessary to make sure we're all on the same page. It's a familiar story in the Bible. And I may have preached there many times, but the Lord did something in my heart and worked this message in my heart about the third week of May. And as soon as I had preached it, I didn't think it was ready then. I don't think it's ready now. I knew it should have got Brother Chad Bailey to alliterate it and make everything right for me. But I feel like it's what God wants for us. Now, you're going to ask yourself, what is this to do with the youth meeting? Listen, I already wrestled with God. It's the meeting, all right? And you can take it up with the Lord if you want to, but I feel like it's exactly where the Lord would have me to be tonight. And I want you to pray for me tonight. God would help me to be sensitive to the Spirit. In 2 Kings in chapter number 4, we're picking up in the life of Elisha, one of my heroes of the faith. In verse number 8, we'll begin reading in verse number 8. It's talking about that Shunammite. The Bible said in verse number 8, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunam, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. Let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on the day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber, and he lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him, and he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care, which is to be done, what is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among thine own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to the lad, carry him to his mother. So he spoke to another person, a field hand, to a lad, and said, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him, he brought him to his mother, and he sat on her knees till noon. Then he died. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God. Look at there. She didn't call a mortuary, funeral home. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. She called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men, one of the ashes, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. In other words, it ain't church time. You crazy. It's Monday. And she said, it shall be well. Then she sat on the night, said to her servant, drive, go forward, slight not thy riding for me, except I bid thee so. She went and came to the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder, I like it. Amen. Yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with the husband? Is it well with the child? She answered, it is well. When she came to the man of God to the hill, called him by the feet, Gehazi came near to thrust her away. The man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me. She said, did I desire, son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? And then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins, take my staff in thine hand, go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. If any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her, and Gehazi passed before him, laid the staff upon the face of the child, and there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awake. When Elisha was coming to the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. And he went in therefore, shut the door upon them twain, and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child, and put his mouth upon his mouth, his eyes upon his eyes, his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him. The child sneezed 7 times. The child opened his eyes, and he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her, and when he was come in unto him, he said, take up. She came in, and he said, take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground, took up her son, and went out. Father, we pray today you help me to preach, and the anointing power of the Holy Ghost will be a help and encouragement to everybody that's here in this building. I pray for mamas and daddies, grandmas and grandpas, for young people, the lost, the saved, for thy will to be accomplished, and only God for you to get the glory. Set a guard at my mouth. Let me say nothing more. Nothing less than what you'd have me to say. But Lord, I stand where no man can help me but you, and I pray you give me unction, power of the Holy Ghost to help me not preach with excellency of speech and tiresome words, but in the power and demonstration of the Spirit. I pray your word will go forth and accomplish what it needs to be done. Help me now. I pray, Lord, to be a help to your sheep and your lambs. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. If the Lord would help me for a little while, just for a little while tonight, I want to preach on this thought, are you a spiritual first responder? Each year during the month of May, our nation recognize EMS, EMT. They recognize first responders, medical professionals, everybody who puts themselves on the line every day or puts themselves out there to be a saving vessel for other people's lives. We need to ask ourselves, are we a spiritual first responder? Are we the ones that when the bottom falls out of their life, they'll pick up the phone, they'll run to your house? Are you the young person in your youth group, or maybe at school, or maybe at Christian school, maybe down there at the YMCA, wherever you might go to run into other people, are you the kind of person that when everything falls apart and their life looks hopeless, that they will run to you because they know that you can get a hold of God on their behalf? Are you a spiritual for Elisha was a Shunammite. He was her spiritual first responder. Now I want to say this. I'm glad we got a chief. Hey man, somebody help me. I'm glad we got a chief. Amen. First responder. Would you say amen there? Before time was, before man was, before the mud ball we live on was. I'm glad he already had us on his mind. I'm glad he was already ready. I'm glad he was already reaching. I'm glad he was already reasoning. I'm glad he was rendering an opportunity. I'm glad he was making himself a refuge. Woo! I'm starting to feel like preaching now. Amen. I'm talking about, I'm glad he's the chief. He's in charge. Amen.
But I wonder, we think about these qualifications. A first responder's got to be ready, got to be reachable, got to be reasoning of the scriptures, of the knowledge that God would have them to have to reach and provide that spiritual first responder. God help us. Are we rendering aid? Are we helping? Are we a refuge? Are we reinforcing the presence and the work of God in the community, in the church group where we're at? That's what we got to ask ourselves. We think about these qualifications. You say, preacher, why? I do know this, that according to those who've done the research in May of 2023, they say that the suicide among teenagers has more than doubled since the pandemic. They said this, that suicide, death by suicide is the leading cause for teenagers first entering adolescence. For 13 and 14 year olds, they seem hopeless. I can't imagine what they face, what brings them to a place. But I want to ask you today, when everything looks hopeless, when it looks like there's nowhere to turn, are you the 911 call? Are you the person that they say, if I can just get to them, if I can get down there to Carmel, to the church, if I can get her pulled to the side, if I can get that godly woman, are you the mom and the daddy? Amen. Are we the spiritual first responder? I want to walk through the text, and I want you to notice her relationship, some things that she had developed with her spiritual first responder. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 8 and 9. I want you to notice her constraint, her assistance. And verse number 8, it says, and she constrained the man of God to eat bread. She was devoted to the man of God, to the things of God. She had respect. She says of him to her, I perceive he is a holy man of God. Not just, he's a holy man of God. And notice her constraint was not just in and out, up and down, but it was consistent. Amen. As oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat. Man, every time he went by there, he knew you could get a cathead biscuit and fried chicken. Amen. I mean, he could find food and he could find fellowship because she wanted a relationship. He had showed himself a spiritual first responder, and she said, I want him around my house. Amen. She didn't have no kids yet. She just said, I want to be where he's at. Are y'all with me? Notice her care. Look at verse number 13. The Bible said, he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all, what did it say? With all this care. This word there, careful, amen. It carries the idea of being compassionate. Somewhat, here's what she did. She provided a complimentary bread and breakfast. Amen. Every time the man of God came around. This wasn't an Airbnb she rented out every time she could get a chance. This was something she made against her house for one purpose. And that was, amen, to take care of the man of God. She is careful. Amen. It speaks of a reverential fear. It speaks of piety. He even goes on to say, you have honored us with all this honor. She was careful. It speaks of being meticulous. She wanted everything just right. When it come to taking care of the relationship she had, I just wonder, does your kids see your love for your man of God? Being careful, being conscious, being consistent. Do they see you loving that man of God? If so, when the bottom falls out, they'll know who to go to. She, amen, she is careful, conscientious, her concern. They were honored guests. She was contented. Look at verse number 13. He said, look, I can speak to the king. Who do you want me to speak for? Hey, here's what she says. She said, I dwell among mine own people. In other words, she said, I live a quiet and peaceable life. I've got everything I want. I don't need no fanfare. I don't need no special favors. I feel like preaching right there. Hey, man, I don't have to be recognized. Man, God told us to shine as lights in the world. That's stars. They don't get applauded. They don't get appreciated. Amen. They don't get an award. They just do what they're supposed to do. Stay in their socket. Woo! Just stick in the socket where God's put them at and shine. Amen. She's contented. She said, she had the attitude of Paul over in Philippians 4:11. At wherever I'm at, whatever state I'm in, I've learned therewith to be content. Boy, we need some young people that learn to be content. You don't need 15 gaming stations. Somebody help me. Hey, man, God's give you a godly mom and dad, give you a good Bible-believing preacher, gives you somebody that's careful, conscientious, consistent, to care and love the man of God. The blessings of God are going to be on your life. Don't look around at them wicked young people thinking you're missing out on something. Oh, be content, be blessed where God's put you at. She is crowned. Amen. And verses 14 through 17, here's what happened. Hey, she is given a son. Now hold on a minute, preacher. The Bible says in our text, I won't take time to read it. The Bible says that the man was old, and the Holy Ghost is trying to teach us men something. It don't say she's old. Y'all should have said amen right there. But we know, according to most people that I've studied, she was of old age, past postmenopause. This man's old. They hadn't had any children. But God's going to say, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you for your consistency, for your care, for your compassion. Amen. Amen. That little chamber you build. Amen. Nobody else may not know it, but I've recognized it. So I'm going to crown. You know what happened? God gave them a son in their old age. This is a miraculous birth. That wouldn't have been nothing. But it's going to point to another miraculous birth. Her son, amen, it had to be supernatural. It had to be miraculous that they were allowed to have a son. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, every miraculous birth in the Bible is a picture of another that's coming down the road. Her son got to be a crown, a jewel, a type, a picture of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Good God in heaven, I got to get some of it out. Amen. Now, do y'all see this? Watch this right here. Woo! I feel like preaching tonight. Her blessing is going to become a burden. Watch what happens. Y'all listen to me now. Here's my message. This son, most say, well, you say, preacher, Bible calls him her child. Well, ask my wife. She's got 126 and 119, and they both her child. Most say he was past adolescent age. Some say he was in the high teenage years. Maybe some say even 30 years old, but it's her child. It's her youngin. I don't know how old she is. That's up to you to argue with the Lord about. But I do know he had to be young enough he could sit on mama's lap. Right. Now watch what happened. Her son that she is blessed with, the son she didn't ask for, the son she said when the man of God said, by the time of birth, God's going to bless you with life. You're going to embrace a son. In other words, it was a welcome addition to the family. You're going to embrace a son. She didn't ask for that. Are y'all with me tonight? Here's what happened. God blessed her. God crowned her. God gave her. But this boy went out there to the field to his daddy. And he said, my hand, my hand. And he fell down. Most think it's a sunstroke. And this blessing became a burden that she was broke
and eventually got bitter about. I want you to watch your text. This is the calamity that she needed. Amen. She had some confidence in the midst of her calamity. Hey, this great crown, this great blessing that God had compassion on her young age and gave her. It looks like he's gone. It looks like he did. He died in her arms on her lap. There may be some mamas in here right now, maybe some daddies in here, and God's blessed you with a son, and you've raised them right, and you've took them to church, and you've tried your best to instill godly principles, had them under good preaching, had the man of God came around, fed him bread, they've eaten with the man of God, they've cared for the man of God, and some reason or another they're gone, and almost you're broke about them, you ain't seen them in years, had just barely come around, but can I tell you today, amen, on the authority of this Bible, I tell you what you can do. You can run to God and say, "Preacher, I don't even feel like I can pray." Well, ain't you glad God's put some spiritual first responders in your life? Hey, man, when you can't get a hold of God, he'll let you run to somebody else down at Carmel, down at the church house where God sent his fire, where God showed up before. He'll send you down there to get some help. Are y'all listening? Here's what happened. In the midst of everything going on, she had confidence. She had confidence in the man of God. He was her spiritual first responder. Here's what she said in verse 23. When her husband said, "You know, it's not new moon, it's not Sabbath," she said, "It shall be well. It'll be well if I get down there to Carmel. It'll be well if I can get a hold of my spiritual first responder. If I can get down there to that man, when everything looked hopeless and it looked like no help for us even to have a baby and, running around the house. I believe in the man of God. I believe in the miracles of God. I believe in the ministry of God. Through his man of God. And if he's ever done it before, he'll do it again." Notice what happened. She is down there. She says, "It is well. It is well. It is well." He answered three questions. "It is well." He sees her riding that ass. She's got a young man right now, and she's basically, here's what she says. He said, "Drive." If you look at word up drive, here's what it means: to drive like my wife drives. Amen. Disregard all signs. Amen. Hit the pedal to the metal. Are y'all listening to me? That's why she's EMT. She can run the stop signs. Amen. I'm talking about wide open. Are y'all listening? Don't hold back for nothing. Don't slow down for me unless I holler at you. Drive on to the man of God. That's what she's in desperation. She ain't going to call the mortuary. She's not going to call the funeral home. Her baby boy that she's blessed with, it's a burden in her heart. He's dead. But she didn't lay him in a coffin. And that day you had to bury him that day. She took him up to the man of God's bed. Took him up to the spiritual responders. Amen. And she said, "I gotta go get him." Are y'all listening to me? When she's coming down the road, he said, "Hey, yonder's that." I should read your text. Not just any shim. "Hey, that's that one. You know what I'm talking about, Gehazi. That one's been good to us." He said, "I want you to go. I need to ask her some questions. Is it well with you? You personally?" And she lied. Now, yeah, I know, I'm going to get to that in a minute. You said, "Preacher, she believed in faith. She told her husband, it shall be well." But the truth was, it wasn't well right then. Hey, maybe she's like a lot of us, young people, mamas and daddies. We come to church and we got our right dress on. We got our King James Bible. Got our smile. Amen. We know when it comes to talking about resurrection, we're supposed to go, "Woo! Y'all know I'm right." You'll come into church, have a smile on your face, and inside you eat up. Inside you tore apart. Oh my. Amen. And you don't want nobody to know it. So when the man of God said everything all right, it is well.
Boy, you ain't never going to get no help. I've talked to a lot of paramedics and EMTs. You got to evaluate the patient. And if they're not honest with telling you what's wrong with them, you can't help them. Are y'all listening to me? Unless you get honest with God, hey man, quit trying to put on a picture. Hey man, they won't know. Hey, he's a good spiritual first responder. He's there for you when you need him. Hey, they'll help you. They'll turn their own, amen. They'll turn their schedule upside down. They'll end up turn away from the anniversaries, birthdays, turn back on vacation just to come back and be there for you. But if you don't get honest with them, honest with God, you're not gonna get what you need. Amen. She acted like it was okay, but the opposite was true. Then you say, preacher, well, I know her relationship was right with God, but she's out of fellowship with him. She's mad at God. You don't believe me, do you? So I turn the Bible. Look at verse 27. Verse 27 said, her soul is vexed within her. She's broken. She's bitter over the child. Look at verse 28. Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not desire? Basically, she said, I didn't ask for this. I didn't ask for the blessing to begin with. What would you give me one and take it back for? I asked you not to lie to me. Why'd you do? Basically, called him a liar. Are y'all listening to him? Hey, I'm going to ask you, ladies, if everything all right with you. When I ask you, men, is everything all right? Are you right with God spiritually? Is that relationship, is that fellowship where it needs to be? Mom, when I'm asking you, is it well with you? Are you saved? Mamas and daddies, grandmas and grandpas. Hey, man, I'm telling you what, I've got a man in the church. I had revival yesterday morning, seeing one man getting in the church in the altar. Just one man got in the altar, and I like to broke, hey, man, I tried to stay calm behind the pulpit. Y'all see, it's real hard for me. I can't help it. Hey, man, I wanted to tear something up. I mean, man, y'all know what I'm talking about, Brother Webb. You see them, you know they need to get with God. You know they need help, man. When they finally break through, you feel like revival has took place in your heart. Get honest for God. He said, is it well with your husband? She said, it is well. It wasn't well. I'm going to prove to you it wasn't well. In verse number 19, see, she's bitter at God. And he's too busy for God. In verse 19, his only son of an old age has had a sunstroke, and he's too busy to even take him to his wife. He gives a field hand to take him to his wife. He tells a lad to take him. That's out of your King James Bible. Verse number 19, he didn't do it himself. He said, I'm too busy making money. And I'm going to tell you, he said, man evidently provided for his family. He had money that he built that chamber. He had money that he built, provided food. He had money that he put the furnishings there. Boy, I'd like to preach on them furnishings. Ain't got time. Hey, man, thank God for what's on the beds of comforters. Anyway. Hey, man, thank God for everything in that chamber. He didn't grumble. He didn't gripe. He said, I want to take you on 14 trips to Montana. 13 visits to Disney, 6 trips to SeaWorld. He didn't do that. He said he must have been pretty good. He took care of his wife. But listen, that ain't all there is to being a daddy. Are y'all listening? Don't get so caught up making the dollar. This man said, I ain't got time. I got crops to put in. I got some dollar bills to stack. Are y'all listening to me? I'm going to tell you what, you're going to shortchange your youngins if you ain't got time to get them to God. He's preoccupied. He's too busy. He's a preoccupied husband. And here's what he said. It's not a new moon, it ain't a Sabbath. In other words, it ain't church time. Why go after the preacher? I'm gonna tell you, all you pastors, just lift your hand. We got a bunch of them in here. All you pastors, look at me. Okay. I'm gonna tell you what, if I don't know, there might be a mom in here, and you come up here with your young people, I'm going to tell you a surefire way to get that husband to church that you can't get to church. Looked like to God he took the sick young'un to the mama, but when the baby died, looked like surely to goodness he'd have went with her to the church house, but she can't even get him to church. She can't get him to the man of God. I'm going to tell you a surefire way to get him to church. Go home after your preachers preach and tell your husband, man, my preacher's a good-looking man. He is fired up, had God all over him. They'll be at church the next service. Somebody say amen. Y'all know I'm right. Jeff Ledbetter's a good-looking fella. Are y'all listening to me? You tell them, Brother Ledbetter had God on him. He looks like, man, he's a man's man. He'll show up to church Sunday with you. Seriously. Help me, Lord. Here she is, going alone after God for her child while her man's preoccupied in the field. He's so busy, he don't have time for God, don't even have time to go after God for his child. Are y'all listening to this preacher? Boy, thank God for youth meetings like this. It's hard. I know you got to put things, got to use your vacation time. But I'm going to tell you what. I'd rather take my young'uns to Smoky Mountain Youth Revival than Disney World any day. I don't want them to go down there and hug rainbows. I want them to hug Christian flags. See? There's a teenage girl died. I remember reading this story. She died of a disease. Doctors couldn't figure out what's going on. She looked at her mama. And her mama said this. She told me, here's was the last words. You taught me how to flirt with boys. You taught me how to look to attract boys. You taught me how to smoke a cigarette. You taught me how to drink, but you never taught me how to die. You never told me about God. And she died. That's the last word she heard her daughter say. I wonder, what are you leaving behind for your young? Are y'all listening to this preacher? Is it well? Well, she lied. It wasn't well. She said, is it well with your sons? He went from dizzy to delirious to dead. It wasn't well with him. She gets over there, she's tore up. Listen to me, young people. The man of God says, Gehazi, he commissioned. He said, go down there and take my staff. Gehazi had so much sin and wickedness in his life, amen, that the power in the rod was negated and contaminated by the messenger that took the rod. God help us not to contaminate the will of God. Amen. The compassion of the man of God, verse number 29, the conduct of the man of God, went there. They came into his house in verse number 32. He come into the house, and here's what happened. He came into the house. Thank God he was welcome in the house. They, some young people, wouldn't dare want the preacher to come in their bedroom. I feel like preaching right there. You would be scared to death if the preacher said, we're going to have accountability service on Monday night. Man, this might be a good idea, preacher. We're going to have accountability service. All cell phones pass to the front. Give me your passcodes. Let's check out your search history. Oh, it's preaching time. Hey, man. Preach on, preacher. Thank you. Accountability. Are y'all listening to this preacher? Thank God he is welcome up in that house. He had been fetched. He is a spiritual first responder. Hey, she was the one. She ran to him. He's the one she ran for. He's the one that she went to. He's the one she called on. Sad thing, it wasn't her husband. According to verse number 23. Sad day, it wasn't her. Amen. It wasn't her husband. But she had somebody she could call on. The Bible said he went in there. He came into the house. The Bible said he went up there, laid on that bed, laid on top of him. She's mad at God. He shut the door on the one that was bitter toward God, and shut the door on the one that was too busy for God, and went in there to one that needed God bad. And the Bible said, eyes on his eyes, hands on his hands, stretched himself. That's what I call spiritual CPR. Amen. Y'all know I'm right. Amen. Bible said he started walking back and forth. Verse number 35, he went back to reevaluate his patient. The patient soon got warm. The boys got warm. But he's went over, and I don't know, maybe he's checking himself, talking to God. Maybe I don't know what's all going on. I've heard a lot of people make speculation. Here's what I think. If you'll just bring them to the house of God, get them around the spiritual. Are you the kind of person that when people, hey man, when young people get around you, hey man, they get to seeing what you're seeing, touching what you're touching. Hey man, get to loving what you're loving. Feel your warmth and your heartbeat. Hey man, for the things of God, it goes to warming them up. It goes to warming them up for what you love, for what you see, for what you desire. And then it takes time. We got to go back there and search ourselves. Go up there and lay down on him. The Bible said he sneezed 7 times. Now I ain't got time to preach that. Brother Bailey's going to preach that after service. But it takes power in laying on them the reverence of the church, laying on them the reverence of the man of God. There's power, amen, in the word of God. There's power. The Bible said the second time, he breathed on him, mouth to mouth. That spirit empowered word of God. Ain't nothing like that. Amen. It won't just warm you up. That'll give life to your children. She said, "All." She said, "Before it's going, it shall be well." She said, "It's well." Maybe she did it in faith, preacher. She done told her husband, "Hey, it shall be well." Maybe she did. I hope she did. But I'm gonna tell you what. She knew in her heart, if I can just get to that man that can get me to God. Are you that young person that they can come to you and you can get a hold of God on their behalf? Are you that young man? Are you too busy trying to fit in? You know you got to cuss like they cuss, laugh at what they laugh at, go along what they dress like they dress. Lord, don't let me get on that today. Got to do what they do, act like they act. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Go over to your buddy's house and spend the night because you know your mom and daddy won't let you go to that party. Elisha is a spiritual first responder. He's always represented God to the Shunammite. First responders got to be ready, got to be reachable, got to be reasoning, got to be rendering, got to be real. They've always... A man 19 years old. How many of y'all less than 19? How many of y'all 19? Anybody in 19 years? Got a bunch of them. My wife works with a man that's 19, had a heart attack a few weeks ago. Heart attack. Healthy young boy. I mean healthy. 19 years old. I know in my county, 15-year-old shot himself. 16-year-old hung himself. I can't fathom that. I can't even hardly understand that. But with the pressures that's going on in young people's life right now, they don't feel like they can talk to daddy. He don't have to go to church. He wonders why mama goes to church all the time. It ain't Sunday. It's a youth meet. Boy, you got to haul the kids up to Tennessee, up the gorge. I tell you what the gorge felt like today. It felt like a honey trail going up to where I was going to get some help. Hey, man. Why are you taking them over there? Because I got to get them to God. I know that man will have God on them. Them preachers are praying, man. They'll breathe the word of God. I want them to see what they see. I want them to want to handle what they handle. I want their heartbeat. Amen for what their heartbeat's for.
Are y'all listening to me? I feel like they can't talk to mama. Mama's heart's broke. So that are you the young person? That when they're helpless and they need somebody to talk to, are you the one they run to? Are you the 911 call they make? Is there a dispatch from heaven to send you back with some help for their soul? You say, not in our youth group. You'd be surprised. I've got a friend, pastors a church in Mill Spring, North Carolina. It's 15 minutes from my house. A man and his wife and his two kids were sitting in church on Sunday. Friday, Daddy jumped off the Green River Bridge. Them young'uns is crushed. Y'all listen to this preacher. I know what I'm talking about is real today. They some young people right in here. And you feel like your life, you probably in here tonight. And nobody knows because you say, it is well. I got a smile on my face. When one of the young people pray, I pray too. When they sing in the choir, I sing too. When they go soul winning, I go soul winning too. But my heart ain't in it. I'm broke. I'm bitter. I can't understand. Why can't my daddy be on fire for God? Why can't my mama? Are y'all listening to this preacher? Are you that person they go to? President Kennedy got shot. Here's what they said. When he got shot, dignitaries, rich people, people that worship the dollar, all them rich oil people was there. Listen, I'm closing. They didn't ask them. I mean, the shots, they take the president out. Here's what the man got on the loudspeaker and said. Is there a preacher in the house? And here, I got the man's name. Here's what it was. ZBT Smith got up behind the pulpit, read the model prayer, and he said this, Lord, if it's your will to let the president live, let him live. And if it's not your will, help the country to hold itself together because you said, if my people, which are called, and quoted that verse. When the world was tore apart, they didn't ask for a senator. They didn't call on the House of Representatives. Woo! They called on a spiritual first responder. Somebody that can get a hold of God. Is there a man of God in the house? Is there a woman that loves God that folks know? If I can just get Sister Sissy to pray, God will hear her prayer. If I can just get a hold of Brother Jared, I know he'll get a hold of God. Are y'all listening for me? I just want to ask you this. You may not get recognized by the nation. You may not get an award, wear a badge. You may not even see this side what you do. But if you'll be that person that when the bottom falls out like Elisha was to the Shunammite, when they're bitter, when they're burdened, they know where they can get a blessing. If they can just beat tracks down there to Carmel, to the church, to the place where God's fire shows up. Down there where God shows himself God. Get a hold of that man of God. Y'all can look at the text. You can look at the text. When she got there the first time, she fell down. In desperation, when she got there, after her son was delivered to her, she got down there again. It wasn't in desperation now. It was in celebration. If you'll be there for them, their desperation could turn in just with a little bit of praying
Amen. A desperate time could turn into a celebratory time. They might have come in heavy with their hands hanging down, but they'll leave out with their hands lifted and shouting and praising and thanking God for doing it again. He's done the miraculous. He's done the mysterious in the past, and He's still the same today.
Be all right, brother, if I pray. Let's all stand. Somebody, I think, might come to piano. I'm going to turn it over to the pastor. He's here. But I sure feel pressed if it'd be all right, Brother Ledbetter. Give an invitation just for a moment. Man of God's going to come in a minute and preach. And I feel pressed of the Lord. Sunday had a man get saved. His name's Ben. We prayed for him for weeks and weeks and weeks. Ben was broke. His eyes busted open Sunday. He got saved. But boy, weeks before that, he didn't think he was fit to be saved. He was so broke by his sin, by the guilt and shame of what he'd done. He'd been around church, but man, he hadn't lived like it. He was tore up. I mean, he didn't feel like he was deserving to get saved. I said, my God, Ben, I still don't deserve to be saved. It ain't about me. His love towards you didn't have nothing to do with you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten. It never started. His love never started because of you being fit, deserving, or worthy. And amen, it ain't dependent upon it neither. He loves you. And His Son died for you, and love accomplished, amen, what the law required. What you couldn't do, Jesus done, and gave you access to be back in fellowship with a sovereign God. Yeah. Old Ben got born again. He got saved. He told my son when he got up, I said, tell Seth what he done. He said, he changed me. I wonder if you're sitting here today, heads is bowed and eyes closed just for a moment. Folks already praying. I wonder if your world feels helpless. Won't you run? Won't you run right quick? Run right quick. Don't wait. Nobody else. Folks around is coming. Why don't you come? Just run to the Lord. He is your spiritual heavenly first responder. He's the chief. He's on scene all the time. Hey, man, He's overseeing all the actions of everybody else that's serving Him. God help us to be a good servant of the chief first responder. But God help us as men of God and preachers, wives and God, missionaries and missionary wives, and men of God and women who love God and pray and get a hold of God. God help us to be that woman, that young person, that man, that amen, that when trouble comes, when the bottom falls out, when worlds crumble, when everything turns upside down, that they'll run to us. Well, we ain't nothing, but we know a God that can do anything. He can do the impossible. And she's watched her spiritual first responder be the vessel that God used to do the impossible before. And it gave her faith to believe He could do the impossible again. How many mamas in here say, I wish I'd get my husband to church? I don't know. Maybe everybody here's husband's here. Everybody here's wife's here. But I'll tell you what mama did. She didn't get tripped up by what the husband said. She went after God, went after the man of God, with or without the husband. My head. When God gave me this message, I had no idea that the beginning of the service there was going to be a Mason that sits back there and loves on me, my grandbaby. They took him to the hospital while I was preaching. The next day, another one of our children in the church went to the children's hospital for neurological head issues. The next day, another kid in our church went to the hospital with neurological issues. I had no idea all that was going to happen. I was scared thinking it wasn't ready. And God said, oh, you're going to preach it, whether you like it or not.
I don't know what's fixing to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's happening. I didn't tell you that to make you think. I'm just telling you what happened that day. I first preached it in the month of May in the third week on a Wednesday night. And I can tell you God's the same God that answered prayer for all three of them young'uns. And he's the same God that can answer prayer for you. He did it back in Elisha's day. He can do it in 2023 in this day.
Won't you come, pastor's here. Turn it over to him. Young person, maybe you know something's going on in somebody's life. Why don't you just tell him you'll be there for him? Are you the young man in your youth group that they know to come to? You the young lady in the youth group that they know to come to? Mom and daddy, are you that kind of mom and dad that your children know? If something ever happened to me, I know she knows where to go. He knows where to go. God bless you.